Hello, everyone. This is Julian Page, Head of Fund Research at DDQ Invest. Today, I'm joined by Simone Melardi, Senior High Yield Analyst at Principal Global Investors. Hi, Simone.
Hello, hi. This is Simone Melardi from Principal. Good afternoon.
Could you provide an overview of the investment objective of the fund and the underlying investment philosophy?
Yeah. The fund is a global high yield fund, invests for 80% in US high yield, 20% in European high yield. It does not include financials, and it does not include emerging markets securities as well. So is a corporate Western European and US high yield bonds type of portfolio. The investment process is ultimately based on three pillars. Is macro analysis. So ultimately, we combine a top-down macro approach with a bottom-up micro security selection. The security selection is basically the key part of the strategy, but we combine that with a macro view, as I said. And the third pillar is the inclusion of ESG analysis. ESG principles have been embedded in our microanalysis, and ultimately, these are the three key pillars behind the process and behind also the consistent performance of the fund.
So you've touched on that already, but could you provide a description of your investment process, and then how has this investment process led to a selection of a top holding within the portfolio?
Yeah, the investment process basically is focusing on three main aspects. We do FTV, which stands for fundamental technical valuation analysis at each level of the investment chain. We do fundamental technical valuation at the macro level, at the individual fixed income class level, meaning investment grade, high yield, emerging market, etc. And then within high yield, we look at FTV for all the sectors within the high yield index, and within the sector, we do FTV for each company within a sector, as I said. So in other terms, just to go into more detail, at the macro level, FTV means that we are looking at fundamental factors like economic growth, monetary policies, inflation across the globe. But we look also at technical factors like liquidity, fund flow, fund flow across asset classes, and then we look at valuation. The outcome of this analysis is called dynamic risk score. Is ultimately is the score is 1 to 10, and the idea is really to create a consistent macro perspective with like 1 is the worst taking risk environment and 10 is the best kind of risk taking environment. So in other terms, this DRS, the dynamic risk score, is the assessment of where the world, the financial world, is going. But then we take a step further and we look at, as I said before, we look at individual fixed income classes. So we do the same analysis for the high yield asset class, and we look at fundamental technical valuation for high yield. And ultimately, we want to have a view of what the total return of the asset class will be and what kind of return the asset class will generate. Like it will be coupon clipping, will be coupon clipping plus spread tightening. So that's the kind of like analysis we do at that level. Then we go into the detail in high yield and we do FTV at each sector. So we score with the FTV approach the telecom sector, the retail, automotive, etc. And so we are able to rank the sector from top to bottom. top sectors are sectors that will be that will have an overweight in the portfolio. Bottom sectors are sectors that, you know, will be definitely underweight or might not even be in the portfolio. The final step is security selection. So we rate securities, we rate individual credits. On an FTV basis, we identify those names that within the sector that we like, those names that we like, we want to have in the portfolio, and those are the largest holdings at the end. You know, so the portfolio is built around this FTV across each part of the investment chain.
Could you give an example of top holding within the portfolio and how you came about selecting that?
With this approach, as I said, we identify sectors that we like. For example, and to give you a practice and real life example, in our portfolio, especially in Europe, the telecom sector has been always an overweight versus the benchmark, because ultimately we like the sector on the basis of strong fundamentals as a non-cyclical sector benefiting from positive secular trend, namely the bandwidth requirement. Is a defensive sector where ultimately we don't see too much volatility on names and bonds that are part of the sector. And, you know, from a valuation perspective, it has been always at least in the last 5 years, trading tight versus the rest of the market. But at the end, you know, on a risk-adjusted basis, this sector has outperformed the rest of the index. So when we like a sector like this, we look for names that are offering some spread advantage versus the other names in the sector. And an example I was using during my presentation was Ziggo, the second largest telecommunication company in the Netherlands, a name where we have a strong fundamental view because this name has a state-of-art infrastructure, highly profitable with strong cash generation. There was a time in early 2018 where this bond was trading wide versus the rest of the sector, especially versus key comparables like Telenet, you know, which is the cable company in Belgium, and it was trading up to 100 basis points wider. In our view, the market was too nervous at that time about some recent underperformance due to the merger with Vodafone, some initial challenges in implementing synergies, and ultimately the bonds were trading 100 basis points wider versus comparables, and the agencies had them on negative outlook, and also there were downgrades, but on our side we were still like rating them higher than the agencies, and we invested in the name on the expectation that this discount versus the rest of the sector would have closed in the following 12 months on the back of consistent performance and results. And so we were approaching this internally as a, you know, 7-8% total return opportunity under our base case, but we were also seeing like a downside case where this gap could have not closed, and so we were saying that this could have generated like a negative total return of -2%. Ultimately, the performance of this business has been very solid. The gap has closed, and given also, you know, the demand for quality paper in Europe that we have seen, especially in 2019, this has been more a 13% total return opportunity. But just to say that this has been a significant holding, a largest overweight versus benchmark, etc. So this is how we look at opportunity. Ultimately, you know, to identify top holdings, we look for names that have potential for spreads to go tighter. And spreads go tighter in a high yield if, you know, operations are improving and there is cash generation, credit metrics improvement. Our fundamental technical analysis on name is basically supporting us in identify those names that the potential to go tighter on a spread basis and therefore to outperform the benchmark.
Could you give a description of the team of analysts around you? How long have you been working with them, and what experience do they have?
Yeah, basically, our team includes 14 people, of which 3 portfolio managers, 9 analysts, and 2 dedicated traders. The analysts are divided by sector, actually by geography and by sector. 2 analysts are based in London, myself and Rahul Gandhi, and we cover, as I said, we are specialized on European yield, and we divide the sectors. The rest of the team is based in Des Moines, Iowa, where our headquarters is, and the team has been together ultimately since since after the financial crisis. I have been with Principal since 2011. So in March 2020 will be 9 years they have been with Principal. The head of the team, which is Mike Denkinger, basically has 29 years of experience, has always been with Principal, ultimately for the entire career. The other portfolio manager, they've been with Mark, working, as I said, since after the financial crisis, is Darren Smith. And he has been, he has 28 years of experience and 13 years at the firm. And then the third portfolio manager is Josh Rank, 19 years of experience, and he has been with the firm since 2013. One thing to notice here is that this 14-people team does only high yield. So I think a difference you will find compared to others high yield boutique is that, or let's say high yield team within asset manager, is that we don't look at other strategies, not investment grade, nor emerging market. Our analysts only look at high yield. So is a core team dedicated to the, you know, European and U.S. market. And just to give you an idea, U.S. market is 1.3 trillion market, so there is enough work to do there. And the European is more, 300 billion.
Which market environments will impact the performance of the fund both positively and negatively?
Yeah, I think if I look at the last 9 years, or let's say, let's go, if I look like since 2011, since I've been with the firm, I can say that we have always outperformed in a, let's say, negative environment, or when the market was challenging because of for example, European sovereign crisis in 2011, or energy crisis in the U.S. in 2015. Our portfolio always outperform, and this is because we have been able to, avoid blow-ups, avoid, the worst performing sectors and the worst performing name within sectors. So I think on that front, this is the environment where we perform best versus the benchmark and versus the peers. On the other hand, when we see a strong rally, a strong rebound, we might be lagging the rally. And this happened in 2012 after the financial crisis. The market has a strong rebound in 2012, especially in Europe, with all the European banks. As I said, we don't do financials, so we totally missed that kind of rally. And also in energy in 2016, there was a sort of strong rebound that we partly miss. So I think, you have to see us as managers that outperform in a negative environment because of the focus on capital preservation and because of our exit strategy, which basically is a stop loss type of strategy. And you need to see us as kind of like laggers when there is a strong rally. And just to give you an idea, we are talking about 2012 as a probably like 18-19% total return at the market level. We were behind that. 2016 as well, approximately kind of the same, and we were behind that. So this year, I would say the market has been rallying quite a lot. The market is up, 11.8, approximately 12%, probably as of today, 12%. And this year we are ahead of that. So I think we are learning to get, to get the same pace as the market. But historically, that has been a market that has been kind of hurting us.
And how does the risk management process tie into the portfolio construction and portfolio management process?
Yeah, a key pillar of our investment process is exit strategy. So when we invest on a sector and on a name within a sector, we have exit strategies discussed upfront as part of the thesis. Exit strategy are triggers, based on fundamental factors and also relative value. I mean, when a company does not deliver on deleverage or earnings growth, on cash generation, for us this it is an exit strategy, or regulatory changes within a sector, or changes within capital structure, or dividend policy. So those are all fundamental factors that can trigger an exit. So this is the key, ultimately, this is the key component of our risk management. If there is a company that is promising cost cutting or asset sale in order to bring down leverage and we don't see that happening, we are going to sell. We're going to get out of the investment. If we expect, let's say, a cash inflow from, a working capital or an asset sale, and this doesn't happen, this is something that immediately triggers a sale of a security. So this is the key part of our risk management. Of course, we look at also market measures. We look at, volatility on 30, 60, 90 days basis, and we try to read into that kind of figures what the market perception of a credit of a name is. Clearly, if we do see a name that, where volatility is on the rise, we need to understand what are the factors, what are the reasons, what are the technicals as well of the securities, and we will adjust our risk-adjusted total return expectation for the security on the base of that. Ideally, we want to identify security where you can have a higher yield versus the benchmark, but lower volatility. So those are like parameters that we use to build the portfolio and to risk manage the portfolio as well. So in summary, exit strategy and also market risk measure to calculate total adjusted risk, total return risk adjusted for our securities.
Could you describe your ESG considerations with regard to the fund?
Yeah. ESG is a key part of our process. It is part of our fundamental assessment. We clearly look at, the key sectors in, within ESG. We analyze, you know, environmental issues. We analyze corporate governance structure, structures, as well as anti-competitive practices, disclosure, etc. But we also tend to look for ESG credit-specific factors or sector-specific factors. In my space, for example, as I mentioned, I look at TMT. In TMT, one of the key ESG factors that we look at is how these telecommunication players are managing, let's say, how they are handling a substantial quantity of customer personal and sensitive information. Because ultimately, telecom operators are vulnerable to privacy threats and cyber attack. And, you know, this, we need to see that our names are investing in those, in measure to prevent cyber attacks and to handle privacy data of customer. So ultimately, if you remember, there was a case of a UK broadband provider, TalkTalk, that back in 2017, November, was a victim of an attack. And, you know, from November to February 2018, the stock lost more than 70%. So, for example, when I talk about the Ziggo, the Dutch telecom operator, as part of my ESG analysis with them, we discuss how they manage customer data, and they walk us through how they apply the EU GDRP regulation on that specific matter. They show how these have been implemented, as well as extra measure for data protection, and also the result of regular external audits. So we were ultimately impressed and satisfied with the answer of this key ESG factor to look for this name. And, you know, within our process, we gave a 7 on ESG to Ziggo. And, you know, our ESG score basically is going from 1 to 7. And so the 7 had a positive impact on the fundamental assessment of the company. So in summary, we look at, as I said, you know, the ESG is integrated. We look at these general categories, corporate governance, labor management, anti-competitive practices, say carbon emission, etc. But we do a step further and we look at individual factors and aspects, and that would be kind of like the key driver of the final score, a ESG score for a name.
What can investors expect with regards to investment returns?
Our goal is to outperform the global high-yield benchmark by 150 basis points per annum over the cycle. So I think, you know, we are active manager in high yield. We clearly have a benchmark in front of us, which is the global high yield benchmark. And, you know, we will provide to our investor that type of return with an alpha that comes from our security selection. And at the same time, is our focus to, you know, provide that return with a lower volatility because of the, you know, exit strategy and the risk management that we have discussed earlier.
How is your personal remuneration aligned to the performance of the fund?
Correct. Yes, it is aligned. It has a I work for, just taking a step back a second, I work for Principal Global Fixed Income, and Principal Global Fixed Income is a boutique within Principal Global Investors, so it's a boutique with its own bonus pool, and, you know, we with its own mechanism, let's say, for remuneration, and those remuneration are based ultimately on the performance of the fund, and also the remuneration is partially in shares of the fund as well. So there is a total
alignment of interest between the team, portfolio manager, analyst, and the investors in the fund.
Lastly, could you describe the main USPs of the fund?
It's a combination of top-down macro with bottom-up security selection. And this basically is leading to more concentrated portfolios compared to, the average global high yield fund. And the concentration is a function of credit conviction. And ultimately, the alpha will come from that conviction. The risk adjusted return superior versus benchmark and versus peers come from the exit strategy, the risk management. Those are the key point. If I can say again, concentration, segmentation, conviction, capital preservation. I mean, I don't know here how it sounds, all of this, but ultimately, we want to protect return, but at the same time, generate alpha through our conviction.
This has been Julian Page, Head of Fund Research at DDQ Invest, joined by Simone Malardi, Senior High Yield Analyst at Principal Global Investors. Thank you very much, Simone, and thank you for listening.